when we wear a mat. Cross the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I'll travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
That's what I like to see, bullseyes, every time. And you can do the same thing with Byers Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Byers Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Byers Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10-22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at ByersBarrels.com. That's B-E-Y-E-R Barrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Fence, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, God bless America, land that I love. America, America, God shed His grace on me. Shining sea. I'm proud to be an American, or at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on The Shooting Coach.
Wonders might be present.
All right, here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. 18th of March. We got a lot of stuff to cover tonight. Hopefully it'll be something that'll amuse you or entertain you or interest you or do something with you. But anyway, I've got some. It'll be just a minute. I'll holler at you. I've got some things I want you to listen to. Well, I don't normally do this except on Fridays, but I'm going to switch over to the other format briefly here in a few minutes, and I want you to hear something that I found today. For those of you on Facebook, you may have seen it on my page earlier. Before we get carried away, let me find out if we have found. Nan just joined us. Let me see here. I'm going to find out if we're getting sound. Show of hands. Okay. And we're waiting. Well, everything should be all right because Amy was just on. We had sound there. So anyway, we'll just keep on keeping on here. Let's see. I'll play that one in just a minute. This will kind of lead up to this a little bit. Fox News, you know, I resisted all the people that said, oh, Fox is just like CNN, and they really, and I admitted here, you know, 2 or 3 months ago that they're not what they used to be, and they've really gone downhill. But they have driven the final nail in their coffin to be there. As far as I'm concerned now, they are right on the line with the rest of the mainstream media. Because as of today, or at least the story came out today, I'm sure this has been in the making for a little while, you remember Donna Brazile, right? Donna Brazile was the former Democratic National Committee chairwoman. Well, she has just signed on with Fox News to be a contributor to the network. And I won't quite throw them completely under the bus yet, because they say there, we'll see how everything goes for a little while. But they talk about being fair and balanced. You remember they used to have Alan Combs on there. And I just found out a week ago, that Alan Combs died. I guess that tells how much I've been paying attention. I didn't like him. I didn't pay attention to him. I didn't listen to him. Turned the TV off when he'd come in. So, when he died, I never knew. I didn't care. But that was their, they had him on there as a balance, I guess, for everything. So we'll see how this goes with Donna Brazile. At first, I blew up when I saw this, and then I started thinking about it. Yeah, you know, we'll see. But I still, Fox News has gone way downhill. They're not nearly what they were, you know, 5 or 10 years ago. But I don't know if this is a complete, you know, drive a stake in their heart type of deal yet, but we'll find out. There's news out there that Jeanine Pirro Judge, Jeanine, has been fired from Fox News. That's not true. However, this is one of the things that ticked me off here today. She has been suspended for 2 weeks because of some of her comments. And her comments were about this Muslim representative in Minnesota. What was her name? Ilhan Omar? Ilhan? I guess that's how you pronounce that. Anyway, her use of her scarf, her hijab, whatever in the hell you call it. But she's suspended for 2 weeks, saying that she, while she may be in the penalty box, she has not been fired from the network. and Fox News aired a repeat episode of the documentary, the documentary called Scandalous on Saturday instead of Justice with Judge Jeanine. So when asked why she wouldn't appear on there, they said it was they said it would not comment on internal scheduling matters. But anyway, she let me find out what the comment was. She said, "Think about this. She's not getting this," and she was talking about Omar. Said she's not getting this anti-Israel sentiment doctrine from the Democrat Party. So if it's not rooted in the party, where's she getting it from? Think about it. Omar wears a scarf, whatever you want to call it, which, according to the Quran 33:59, tells women to cover so they won't get molested. Is there, you know, if they're, I'm gonna pause just a second here. If that's what it says in the Quran, to cover while they, so they won't get molested, then some of these, then I understand why they think that oftentimes it's the woman's fault when she gets raped. If she was uncovered, then I see what, in their minds, why that might be happening. It doesn't make it right. I just kind of understand how they're thinking. Anyway, she said, "Is her adherence to this Islamic doctrine indicative of her adherence to Sharia law, which in itself is antithetical to the United States Constitution?" So there's more to this story there, but just remember that part right there. Keep that in mind for a few minutes, because I'm going to play something here in a minute that, let's see, should I play it now? Yeah, I'm going to play it now. So give me just a second. I'm going to bring this up here. All right. Let me turn this up a little bit. Okay. Stand by just a minute. There's going to be just a brief segment of dead air here while we switch over, and then I'll be back. I want you to listen to this, then I'll come back.
Education is one of the most important areas that Muslims have to address. And while our objective, our final objective, is not just to become part of the system that we experience now and that we see, our objective, our final objective, is to create our own Islamic systems, and not only create Islamic systems for Muslims, but to look at all the other people who are sharing this country with us as potential Muslims. And if we look at them as potential Muslims and feel that we have the obligation, which Allah has told us, to try to bring them into the same style of thinking, into the same way of behaving, into the same objectives that we have, then we have to have some way that we can communicate with them and some way we can work with them. And in that long-range process of making America Muslim, all of America Muslim, then we have to have some actual short-range goals. We have to have some way of dealing with them and know how we're going to deal with them and in which ways, and be very calculated about it, or else we will not accomplish our goals.
Okay, there you have it. Now, you would expect that that may have been something recent, because we've had a great many people and a great many stories out there, a lot of concerns about some of these Muslims stating that they intend to create a Muslim country out of the United States. And not only have they actually stated that, maybe I should have done this the other way. I should reverse this, because a lot of us have determined through this vast influx of Muslims into the United States that that is what they intend to do. And lo and behold, there's been several reports and news articles and stuff here lately that has kind of reflected that. But this story, this deal that I just played you, was from 1986. They've been planning this for many, many years. And so this is nothing new. This is not something that they just come up with over the last 5 years or so.
Well, it's probably 10 years ago, 10 or 11, maybe 12 years ago, that I really became aware of this. And, you know, we talked about it on the show back then. For those of you that's been with me that long, we talked about Dearborn, Michigan, and some of those places back there that are completely overrun with Muslims. And I talked about it numerous times. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I couldn't believe it so much that I did an extensive amount of research on these stories back then. And sure enough, it was true. And this was 10 years ago. This story, this thing that I just played for you was 30 years ago. So there you have it. That's what's going on. And that's what their intentions are. And we're making it easy for them. We're making it where, you know, any other religion, any other woman in Congress is not allowed to wear any type of head covering at all, but the Muslims are. So what if Minnie Minpin was a representative from Texas and went in and wanted to wear a scarf because her church said that was what she should do because men shouldn't be able to see her naked ears or whatever. So would she be allowed to do that? My first guess is no. And that's one of many things that is concerning about this. To even remotely consider in your wildest nightmares that Sharia law should be allowed into America is absurd to me. It's just completely blows me away that this is even being discussed. That they might have little, and they do actually have little, you know, neighborhoods and areas, little communities of their own where Sharia law is enforced, and they let them, and that's disturbing. To me, it's a problem. I see it as a very, very large problem. But it's like so many other things along those lines and along several other lines, actually, that the people just allow it. I mean, they, you know, they get a little upset. And apparently this guy in New Zealand got pretty damn upset about it. And it was went into two mosques and killed 49 people and whatever. You know the whole story behind that. But I don't know. People talked about, and they continue to discuss on Facebook right now, that, you know, 3% of the population back in the first revolution and participated in it, and you get all these stories, but, and they say all we do is protest and rally. We haven't even yet begun to protest. They say, well, you know, we're beyond that point. Well, I think we are, but we skipped a few steps. See, back when there was quite a few years there prior to the actual beginning of the war, 15 and 18 years, that there was some heavy duty protests and rallies, including some light skirmishes with government troops. And there were some shootings and killings and woundings and whatnot that went on long before the war started. See, we're not there yet. So the kind of protests and stuff that happened, we had the closest thing we've had to a Boston Tea Party was Bundy Ranch, where there was actually an armed protest against the government activities, BLM specifically. Minnie says she wants to wear a cowgirl hat. Well, that's fine. If your church says that's what you ought to do, well, by golly, when you get to be a representative, I will support your right to wear your cowgirl hat. But anyway, this my point is here that we continue to gripe and complain about what's going on, and we haven't nearly reached that point where, well, let me rephrase that. We've reached a point, but we haven't reached the, haven't started doing what yet what happened in 1760. 1760, 1765, along in there where there was a number of pretty violent protests, you know, including the, of course, the Boston Tea Party wasn't violent. That's kind of a dark of the night type of thing. But like I said, we haven't done any of that. So we can't expect to go from where we're at now. You know, the most protest we see right now, once in a while they'll have a little rally in, you know, in Phoenix or somewhere, and 30, 40, 60 people show up. I want to see 10,000 people show up. You know, the biggest rally we've seen, and you guys have heard it 100 times, or 1,000 times, or 1,000,000 times, or something, about the rally we had in Washington in December of, I think, 2000, what was that, 15? I think. That was a big deal, and that was notable, I guess is what the word I'm looking for. So we need to see more notable rallies instead of having 30 people show up. When we have these 30 people show up, well, all we're doing is talking to 30 people that are just like us. That's not helping anything. Oh, it might be a little bit. We might be, you know, helping to educate people that are like us, but we need to be notable enough that people come in from other walks of life and see what's going on. You know, when we did that thing in Olympia, there were lots of very respectful anti-gunners and stuff there, and not hundreds, but there was quite a few. And there were some neo-Nazis there that Mike Vanderbilt had dealings with personally. I have no problem with any of those people being there because they all learned something. And that's what needs to happen, is these rallies need to be big enough, notable enough, substantial enough that people say, you know, look what's going on over there. Let's go see. The roads are all blocked, you know, and they can't get down. Let's go see what's happening. But no, now when we have a little rally, people just drive by and say, look, there's a dozen, you know, rednecks over there having another little hollering match. And every one of us are to blame. And we've got to get out of that. We've got to make our stand and make a showing here when something like that happens. And the old story is, and it's always the same, yeah, we can't do that because we have jobs. You know, well, that's the big cop out there. These people find ways to go on vacation, and they find ways to attend weddings, and they find ways to go hunting, and they find ways to do this, that, and the other, go see babies be born and all that. You know, this is every damn bit as important as all of those things, if not more so. So when somebody says, well, I can't do that because I got a job, you know what? Take a day off. Call in sick. But be at that rally. I've told you the story about the rally we had in Farmington with, it was April 15th, 2008, I think, maybe 7? 2008, I believe. And in the guys drove by and fishing poles sticking out of the back of the truck and full of sleeping bags and coolers, and they honked and waved and, yeah, we're with you. I seen some of those guys after it was over with. Yeah, we saw you out there on the street. We honked when he came back. What do you mean he honked? Why in the hell didn't you stop? It was so important for you to go fishing, you couldn't stop and join us for 30 minutes or an hour or two? You couldn't just park the truck. You were right there. I could have hit you with a rock. I should have. You couldn't stop the damn truck and get out and come and wave a flag and listen to some of the speakers for an hour because you were going fishing? Shut up. We got to get out of that, folks. We need to get out of it now. We are past the point of no return. This is never going to be like it used to be. You know, some of you may have heard, remember Joe Robertson? Joe Robertson died today in prison for building a pond. They withheld his medicine so many times and no way to prove right now, or at least we haven't heard yet, that contributed to his death, but they did nevertheless withhold his medicine. We talked about that on the show before. He had a massive stroke. They didn't expect him to come out of it two or three days ago, and sure enough, he didn't. And now he's dead. A disabled Navy veteran died in prison for building a pond. And we haven't got time to stop at a frickin' rally and help people and support our stand, our rights here. You got to go fishing? Look on my YouTube channel and go out there. There's a, I forgot what the name of it is, but you can figure it out. There's only 50 some odd videos. You can sort out which one it is. I think it's called Politicians Don't Lie to Me or something. It's kind of a stupid name, but I couldn't think of it. I was mad then, too. That was when I first got here to Sholo. I hadn't been here 3 months, 4 months maybe. And I heard about this this rally that was going on. And I said, well, I got Jason. I said, we need to go down to this thing, see what's going on. We got there to this church, and we looked around. I said, there ain't no rally. Nothing's going on. It's all these cars here. Well, come to find out, the rally was inside. It had just snowed that morning, 3 or 4 inches. And I got in there and I asked the lady that was running the thing, I said, could I say a few words? And she said, sure. And she introduced me and everything. And I went off on those people. There was maybe 40 people in there, if that. I don't think there was that many. And I told them, I said, you know, you'll have to listen to the thing. I don't remember it all, but I said the soldiers in North Korea, you know, talked about it being, you know, 60 below zero or whatever it was there, and talked about the soldiers in Afghanistan being, you know, 125 degrees and all of this stuff, and the jungles and the bugs and everything in Vietnam. I don't remember what all it covered, but anyway, and I said, and these people around here couldn't show up because there's 4 inches of snow. I'll tell you one damn thing, if it had been hunting season, they'd have sure made it out there. They couldn't make it down paved streets on 4 inches of snow to come here and support these people. And that was how Cope Reynolds was born in Sholo. That very day we had a public militia presentation. We signed up about 30 people. And, of course, most of them didn't last. But, anyway, they was all excited for a little while. And then the reality of going to the field and doing stuff hit them, and they said, oh, well, you know, this ain't what I signed up for. I signed up to be a militia man on Facebook. Yeah. But anyway. All right. I better go take a blood pressure pill or something, so I'm going to take a little break here. Let me get my stuff in a row here. And how about we do this right here? Yeah, that looks like a good one. All right, Stan.
I'll be back. On a mountainside, not afraid to die.
Following is a public service announcement brought to you by the John Denver Committee to Prevent Air Show Violence and Deaths Now. The JDCPASVADN says that until we close the air show loophole and place common sense regulations on assault planes with high capacity fuel tanks, the death toll at air shows will continue to rise. Fuel tanks in assault planes should be limited to 10 gallons or less, except for law enforcement and military aircraft. Call your congressman today and ask him to support SB 1369, written in honor of the many victims of needless air show violence.
Amen tried and amen died. Now they're buried together on the countryside. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 or more. The flagrant parent was rolled up the storm. Amen died. Trying to end that spree of the bloody red.
Madam President, we will never surrender America's sovereignty to an unelected, unaccountable global bureaucracy. America is governed by Americans.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. All right, I've got my blood pressure under control, and I'm back. Let me see what else we got going here. I had some other stories. As dismal as everything sounds Tebow, you're probably right. And I mean, that's actually pretty much what I talked about when, hey, WMD Doc joined us. Glad to see you. Lancer joined us. That's kind of what I talked about in my, if you go look at my blog, there's a thing on there that says something about the point of no return. I think that was the name of it. And that's what I discussed. And we actually talked about it on the show when I wrote that. We are outnumbered right now, and it's getting worse. We're going to lose Arizona this year, probably. Arizona very, very possibly could go blue this next election in 2020. I'm betting that it probably will, which is going to be most unfortunate. If we are loud enough and determined enough, and people get off their butts and get out from in front of the television and go out, and help spread the word here, then, maybe we'll salvage it for another election. I don't know. I don't have really big hopes for it. I got huge hopes for it. I just don't have very big expectations. So, anyway, what I was going to say was with all the, I don't want to say pessimistic because it's true. It's not just people having negative attitudes about it. But with the gun stuff going on, the red flag laws and everything, I'm amazed at how many cities and counties are becoming Second Amendment sanctuaries. I don't know how many counties there is right now. I should have probably counted them up, but there's quite a few. There's 30-something, 29 or 30 in New Mexico. I believe there's 20 in Washington. We talked about this a little bit the other day, but it just continues to grow. And one of the, I don't have the quote right in front of me, but one of the presidents of our church said years ago, talking about our times today, said that, talking about the final testing time, the final war, where how it would begin and all that, and he said that it would be so bad that it would be, city against city, county against county, state against state, that people would be out of work because it would become too dangerous to pursue any type of vocation, to leave home and go to work. It's longer than that, but that's what I remember right off the top of my head. And, say what you want, but that's where we're at right now. That's what we're seeing. We're seeing counties stand up against their states, cities stand up against their states and against their counties, and saying, we will not enforce these gun laws. There was another one today. Let me see. I forgot to put it in here. Hold on just a second. Let me see if I can find that. I stuck it. Hopefully it's on Facebook. I can find it pretty quick. Stand by. Stay with me here. There was another one that was very similar to that. I don't know what I did with it. I'm sorry. I'll find it before Wednesday, though. By the way, speaking of Wednesday, we only got about 2 weeks to go before I'm only going to start doing two shows a week. I'm going to do Monday and Friday. We'll see how things go after that. But for the foreseeable future, that's all it's going to be is Monday and Friday.
All right, let me go back here. There was another, what brought this up was yet another one as of 3 days ago. Roswell, New Mexico, home of the UFO craze. But Roswell, New Mexico has declared, two resolutions, one declaring Roswell a Second Amendment of the United States Constitution, a sanctuary city, and another in support of the unborn, were passed by the Roswell City Council. So it says in the drafted abstracts of both resolutions, the city stated to not enforce proposed laws or regulations conflicting with the right to bear arms or protecting fetal life and morals of healthcare professionals. So, you know, this is a very good thing. It's awesome that they're doing this, and they're doing it all over the country. And Washington's, I think it was the attorney, it was either the governor or the attorney general, I think it's their attorney general, is most upset with this, and he plans to, I don't know what he plans, what he thinks he's going to do, but he plans some kind of action against all the sheriffs that have decided not to enforce the law that he thinks is so wonderful. And people, this is a very misunderstood thing on Facebook. Everything's misunderstood on Facebook. There's so many freaking idiots on Facebook. But they say, well, you know, the state police and the city police talk about them not being able to enforce it and them getting after the sheriff. They don't understand the difference in the authority of the sheriffs versus the authority of state police and city police. There's nothing stopping the city police from in most cases, in Roswell, that's an exception, and several others. But just because the sheriff says the sheriff's department's not going to enforce this law in his county doesn't mean that the city police can't. Now, what I'm waiting to see is who is going to be the first sheriff that's going to arrest the chief of police in a city that enforces these unconstitutional laws. I think we're just about to a point where that could happen. I talked to Lucky Mace, what's his name? Sheriff Mace over in, I forgot his first name, Tony, over in New Mexico a couple of days ago. And I knew his brother. His brother was Lucky Mace, you know, years ago. And I told him thank you for, you know, taking your stand. He has said that he's not going to enforce any of these laws. Him and about 28 or 29 others in New Mexico. And Yakima Glock says the governor and the attorney general are planning on some kind of action against the sheriff. Well, you know, jump on it. Jump on it. I want to see what happens. I've got to, Tebow said they have two rallies to do in the next 3 weeks, just referring to Broward again. Tebow has been, you know, since he kind of retired and went to Florida and doing well down there. We miss him up here. I really would like for him to come home, but apparently Florida's home now. But Tebow has been doing what I'd like to see everybody do. He has been really pounding on these things. Every situation, every topic that comes up, every issue that comes up down there, Tebow and a group of Republicans in that area are all over, conservatives, I should say, are all over it. And he's been doing really good, been real active, and I am really proud of Tebow and his group down there. So, anyway, I don't know what, city councilman, nearly 2 hours of the meeting were dedicated to discussing the two resolutions. About 300 chairs were counted in the new council chamber of the convention center's north side. Most chairs were occupied with citizens and residents wearing New Mexican flag stickers with I Stand With The Sheriff. See, that's what I'm talking about. That 300 people in a city council meeting, now that's doing something. When you get that many people just in a city or town council meeting, that's making a showing. Usually it's like 12. That's not helping. Five attendees, including Travis County Sheriff Mike Harrington, spoke in favor of the Second Amendment measure. Five other attendees also shared their views on the unborn resolution. Here you go. On both items, the mayor asked the audience to raise their hands in favor or against the resolution. For the Second Amendment sanctuary, nearly all of the room showed support, and only two hands were raised in opposition. Now that's how you make a difference there. 300 people show up, 298 of them more or less voted for this thing. What if a dozen people would have showed up? Even if all 12 of them were for it, you know, does that really show them very much? When it's crowded, when you have to open windows because it's getting stuffy because there's so damn many bodies in there, that makes, they remember that. You know, they remembered us in Quartzsite when 600 of us showed up down there wearing guns. They remembered us in Cloudcroft when 300 or 400 of us showed up wearing guns. One guy showed up from the other side, from the Center for Biological Diversity. One guy. Brave dude. Walked around there amongst all them people carrying his sign. He was treated with respect. Nobody punched him in the mouth or anything. And, of course, he didn't do any good. Nobody paid any attention to him, but he was there. That was when, Pierce. Congressman Pierce. He was at that point, he was a representative, and he's the one that cut down the first tree in this logging protest that we were, or anti-logging protest, I guess, that happened down in Cloudcroft, New Mexico. Olympia, I mean, there's a bunch of them. Let's see, I need to get rid of that. That doesn't look very healthy. Okay. All right, let's get off of that. We're just about out of time here. I've got a couple other things I want to cover. First Amendment. We're seeing almost all of Chris Ann Hall's videos are being blocked or deleted from YouTube. I mean, as she puts up new ones. I don't think they're going back and finding the old ones, but a lot of her new stuff is being deleted. It's not being allowed on Facebook, some of them. You see a lot of people complaining about missing material on Facebook that they're getting rid of their posts, their videos, and blog entries and stuff like that. Well, in New Zealand, because of this shooting, get this. New Zealand authorities have reminded citizens that they may face up to 10 years in prison for knowingly possessing a copy of the New Zealand mosque shooting video, and up to 14 years in prison for sharing it. Just having it can get you in jail for 10 years. Show it to your buddy, put it on Facebook, 14 years, up to 14 years. Corporations such as web hosts face an additional, not instead of, but along with, $200,000 fine. That's $137,000 here in the United States under the same law. Now, I think I told you no, I didn't, because I was gone this weekend. I watched that video. Oh, we talked about it Friday night on Liberty Lounge. I won't go into that again. But it's a brutal video to watch. It really is. And, I spent enough time on it Friday night. I won't go into it again. All right, let's see where we're at here. Make sure I've got everything covered. Let's see, Fox News, Judge Jeanine, Donna Brazile. Here's something interesting. The Nevada governor is responding to these along just as Washington is. As yet another sheriff has joined the ranks of those that have declared that they will not enforce gun control laws that they believe are unconstitutional. The governor of Nevada now has offered his thoughts on it. He may understand that without enforcement, that none of the laws he passes is going to be worth the paper they're written on. So he knows that he needs to pretend like he's getting along. He needs to, if he can agree to disagree. But it says, the governor wants to work with rural Nevada sheriffs who have loudly opposed a recently signed expansion of gun background checks in the state. The governor on Thursday issued a statement inviting local law enforcement officers to work with him over the coming months to find ways to enforce Senate Bill 143, which will soon subject almost every private gun sale and transfer to a state background check. My office and that of the Attorney General are aware of the letters from multiple rural Nevada sheriffs regarding SB 143. While the law will not take effect until January 2020, I look forward to working with Attorney General Ford and local law enforcement over the next several months to review ways to enforce this law, as is the case with all other Nevada laws that elected officers are sworn to uphold. No, they are not sworn to uphold these laws. Well, I guess I don't know every single state's oath that they are sworn to support, defend the Constitution, and however they word it. So you can't have it both ways. You can either uphold these unconstitutional laws, or you can do what you're told to do and support the Constitution. So he kind of implies that he believes the sheriff will enforce the law, and then mentions that they're sworn to uphold them. So kind of laying a guilt trip on, you know, this is what you swore you'd do, so that's what we need you to do. So he's kind of being nice there to, he's kind of trying to sucker him in. He didn't come in with a, you know, hellfire and brimstone and say, you will enforce these laws or I'll have you arrested or whatever. I'm not sure who you're going to get to arrest them, but. Now, what we may find, just like that quote I talked to you from our president of our church a while ago, what we may find in some of these states, and Nevada would be a damn fine one to start with, New Mexico would be another one. See, New Mexico's only red because Santa Fe and a few of these other, you know, bigger towns are. Farmington wasn't red. The rural area in Farmington in New Mexico is not red. The rural area in Arizona is not red. Tucson is red. Phoenix is becoming red. When we lose Phoenix, we lose Arizona. Denver's red. We lost Colorado. Olympia, Seattle, Tacoma, they're red. I should be saying blue. I got that backwards. Sorry about that. They're all, these other places I mentioned were blue, not red. So Seattle, Tacoma, Olympia, Portland. As far as Oregon, Portland, and what's the other big town there? Anyway, they're all blue, which makes the state blue. Although rural Oregon is just like Arizona. Cowboys, guns, great place. Lots of good hunting, beautiful scenery, wonderful place to live. If Portland would just slide off in the ocean, Oregon would be a fine place to live. Same thing with Washington. If he just cut that pretty close to in half and let it all slide into the ocean, it would be okay. But, you know, Northern California, pretty much all red. If it wasn't for the larger population centers in the South. And with all that in mind, Think of all the several states now that have jumped on board. Colorado's one of them, trying to get rid of their Electoral College. If they are successful in this, and I kind of doubt that they will be, at least not right away. But if they do, we're going to see the country turn blue, the whole country in one election. It'll be over. Texas will be the only thing holding it together, and Texas is getting to be just about like Arizona. Rural Texans are as red as, blood red all over the damn state. One side to the other, border to border, coast to coast. But there's a lot of the bigger population areas there that are not. And when they lose, I don't know where Dallas and Houston and some of these other big towns, Austin, how they stand right now, but overall the state is red. So we'll see what happens. This election coming up next year is going to be very, very interesting. And that it may even be a trigger. You never know. Never know what's going to happen here. Well, I think that, let's see, let me try this. Okay, that worked good. Very nice. All right. Sorry, I'm talking to myself here. All right, well, I'm going to start easing towards the door here. We've got still got a lot of stuff to do tonight before we sack out here. Let me just go look at some of the comments in the chat room here. Saw a few of them, but I didn't scroll up and look very much. Before I sign off, see who all is still here. That's what I'm thinking. It'll be covered with red. It'll be red, but it won't be red. It'll be blue, and then it'll be red. So, yeah, the red will be from blood. I don't know. Austin, yeah, WND Doc says Austin is blue. And I suspect some of the other ones, Houston may be blue. If Houston's blue, then that's covering. The only thing saving Texas is the fact that there is so damn many people in such a huge landmass that they're holding it together. Kind of the way Arizona has done. But we'll see what happens. Won't be long. Knock him out, John. I'll have to play that Friday. Okay, well, let me see if we can get this thing headed the right direction here. And we're going to get on out of here. All right, appreciate you joining me. I don't have anything this Friday, I don't think. Keeping me from, what is this Friday? 22nd? Yeah, I don't have anything. I've got some, this thing, when the time changed for everybody else, it's hard to get Amy on at 7 o'clock, and it's hard with, it's kind of hard to get me started at 8 sometimes, but I should make it. I'm going to make every effort to be here on Friday. So just plan on it, and I'll make it happen unless some emergency comes up. All right, well, as usual, I'm babbling, so I'm going to quit babbling and get on out of here, and we will see you guys on Wednesday. Good night.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.